I would actually caution people against overthinking too much. Sometimes, you know, you need not have all the answers. You could be driven by gut. Something feels right, just go ahead and do it. I mean, particularly at your stage, you guys don't have much to lose. So if something feels right, just go ahead and do it. If you feel working for a startup feels right, even if it is for no other reason but to add some swag to your profile, I think even that is a good enough reason. Just go ahead and do it. Learn by iteration. Don't overthink.
Hey, what is our podcast? Welcome to The Inside Show. This is your host, Shreyas. Today, I have an amazing guest for you. He's graduated from IIT Roorkee in 2012 from the Mechanical Engineering Department. He switched jobs, careers, and taken very big decisions like leaving the consulting job at McKinsey to join a startup called PandoCorp. Let us listen to the inside story and understand what has driven these decisions. Help me in welcoming Mr. Ayush Ghosh. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, Mr. Ayush and sir are very big responsibilities to handle. So let's just call me Ayush.
And sure, I'll call you Ayush. I'll try and call you Ayush. But I'm so much interested in doing this interview because you've done an MBA, you've worked as a consultant in McKinsey, plus now you're working at a startup. And there's so much of stuff that intrigues me about your profile that I just want to learn from you. A lot of stuff. But let's just begin with, what is PandoCorp and what is your role over there?
So Pando is a very new startup. We started around 2017. And what we essentially do is we create enterprise software for freight management. So our customers are typically large corporations like Marico, Britannia, P&G, etc. And what we're essentially doing is we are carrying out end-to-end digitization of freight operations, from procurement to operations to planning to optimization and including even payments. So that's what we are set to do. It's a very standard enterprise SaaS platform, been around for 2 years. Currently, we've raised seed of about $2 million led by Nexus Ventures Partners. And very soon, we're about to raise our Series A round. So my role at Pando, I joined Pando just a little over a month back after 3 years at McKinsey. And I lead enterprise sales for Pando. So that's about it.
All right, that sounds like a lot of stuff that's been going on in PandoCorp. But I went through your LinkedIn profile and it shows growth at PandoCorp PLC. What does that mean?
So as I said, I lead enterprise sales for Pando. My role essentially involves building more customers, building more accounts, just go out there and sell whatever it takes.
And how would you compare your work at Pando versus the work at McKinsey? Like, I've heard that people at startups, they have to work a lot, but there's so much of amazing work and a lot of responsibility. So how would you compare both of these works?
No, well, I wouldn't compare. I would actually be very wary of comparing McKinsey. And I joined McKinsey immediately after my MBA. So it gave me the opportunity to build a certain set of skills, which hold me in good stead at Pando. So I wouldn't really compare the two professions that way.
Okay. But then why would you switch from McKinsey, a consultant in McKinsey, to a startup? Like, I'm pretty sure that the credibility of working at McKinsey, being an associate or being a consultant in McKinsey, and also the pay at McKinsey would be much higher than working at a startup. Then how does one switch from McKinsey to Pando?
Okay, so I think you mentioned two points. One was the opportunity cost of the pay at McKinsey, and second was, how do I sort of maintain the kind of credibility that a McKinsey consultant would actually get in the market? And I'll answer both those questions separately. So in terms of pay, I've been able to negotiate a good deal with these guys here and haven't lost out much in terms of, in fact, I haven't lost out at all. I'm making more than I used to at McKinsey. So that's not that part is covered. But with that out of the way, in terms of what I was looking for when I wanted to join a startup was, so I had certain filters, right? And my filters were that the company shouldn't have matured beyond Series A. Second, I wanted the company to be in the B2B space and not the B2C space, because that's what most of my experience has been throughout. And I also wanted to be in an operating role where I was owning P&L and not in a strategy role. So these were my three filters, and Pando seemed to fit the bill. And so the way it happened for me was that over a particular weekend, the founders reached out, we had a conversation, spoke to everybody in the core team, spoke to all their investors as well, and sort of that helped me build conviction. So it was a combination of the stage at which Pando was, the role that I was getting at Pando, and the fact that industrial logistics is something that I've done before at McKinsey. I've done it in my past life while I was at BPCL as well. So it kind of fit the bill in terms of what knowledge or what experience I could bring to the table. So these were the three or four reasons why I decided to join Pando. And of course, it was 40% logic and 60% gut.
You're talking about the three filters that, you know, why you changed from McKinsey to, like, you had three filters to join a startup or join some other company. Can you walk us through those three filters and how you decided to choose them and why, like, let us understand your personality in that case.
So how do I put it? See, these filters will be driven by what you want to do going forward. What are your middle term and long term career goals? Now that's a little bit of a cliche, but that's what essentially drives what these filters would be. In my case, had I not joined Pando, maybe I would have spent another year at McKinsey and tried to do my own startup in the enterprise space. But then Pando happened, and it kind of gives me the right amount of exposure working as part of the core team at a very early stage, at a stage where we are exponentially growing revenues and being accountable for P&L. So those are the kind of experiences I wanted for some time before I could actually take the call on whether I want to go out there and start out on my own or not. What I did, so at McKinsey, while my work was intellectually very fulfilling, it's a consulting job at the end of the day. You typically don't do operational stuff. So I wanted to make that shift from McKinsey to a more operating role without losing any intellectual rigor. So when you're at a startup, there is a lot of hustle, there is a lot of problem solving involved. We start a hypothesis which kind of gets thrown out of the window from, you know, as we interact with clients, and we have to go back to the drawing board, iterate on the product. Roles are very fuzzy. I mean, while my designation says growth or enterprise sales, I spend 50% of my time actually engaging on the product. So you actually, for me, the earlier you can join a startup, I think your learning becomes that much more accelerated and you can grow along with the startup. So that was what I was thinking of when I joined Pando. That being said, I would actually caution people against overthinking too much. Sometimes, you know, you need not have all the answers. You could be driven by gut. If something feels right, just go ahead and do it. I mean, particularly at your stage, you guys don't have much to lose. So if something feels right, just go ahead and do it. If you feel working for a startup feels right, even if it is for no other reason but to add some swag to your profile, I think even that is a good enough reason. Just go ahead and do it. Learn by iteration. Don't overthink.
Taking such big career decisions just on the basis of gut feeling is a bit difficult for me to understand from my perspective at the moment. But let us go back to your college days and try to understand how your personality changed in the college days. Tell us, how was IIT Roper? Tell us how you chose mechanical engineering. And tell us about your college life in general.
So how do I put it, right? So I mean, of course, even before we joined IIT Roper, there was a lot of apprehensions around joining a new IIT. We were there in the IIT Delhi campus for our first year. Most of us had good alternative options as well, which we really had to choose from. And so there was logical answer, there was a gut answer, right? And as far as the logical answer was concerned, probably 9 out of 10 people advised us against joining a new IIT. But most of us took a gut call then and joined IIT Roper. And I think that decision has actually turned out to be fantastic. And I think I can safely speak for many of the people from my batch and some of the subsequent batches that the experience is what you make of it. I mean, the platform is good enough for you to do wonders out of it. So, I mean, that's how IIT Roper happened. We got a chance to build some very cool things. When we moved to our transit campus in the second year, what we found was something of a dilapidated building. Not enough hostels, 4 people in a hostel room, broken roads. And then there were rains. We kind of had to put bricks on waterlogged streets and hop over to our classes. Then we did our first fest, and when we had no credibility, we hadn't done this before. We had a tough time initially telling people what IIT Roper meant. It's one of the 8 new IIT. We had 6 then. The remaining 2 came later. And now, of course, there are many. So, what the 6 new IITs were, and why do we think we can give them some return for their money? Why we expect there to be footfalls? Those were tough conversations we had. I think my biggest learning experience from the Zeitgeist experience, and I think it's true for many people who were involved in organizing the fest then, was getting Hero Honda as a title sponsor. It was a very, and so Sunil Kant Muljal happened to be on the board of governors of IIT Roper, and I happened to be in Delhi, and a batchmate of mine, Kunal Sasdeva, and I, both of us were in Delhi, and we just walked into Sunil Munjal's office, and with all our brazenness and naiveness, we told him that, you know, boss, we want sponsorship. And it was a very funny conversation where he was a little taken aback, like, who are you guys, etc. But then one thing led to the other. It took a lot of time. It took about 5-6 months to get the final sponsorship check from Hero Honda. But when we did get the sponsorship check from Hero Honda, and they were the title sponsors, that added a lot of credibility. And that was the first time we realized that, you know, sometimes it's important to not underestimate yourself. Just go out there, seek help. You just never know when you get help. Some of the other experiences that I can recall and which were a part of shaping me then was, you know, setting up the music room, for example. So Kunal and I were heavily involved in setting up the music room then, buying equipment. It was the first time we did an actual real tender when we bought the musical instruments. It was, at the end of the day, a public procurement thing, and we had to go through a proper tendering process. So I think I learned a lot about life. I learned a lot about some business processes. During those 4 years, I had developed a certain set of impetuousness, a certain set of fearlessness, and I've been trying to find that ever since. But I think, yeah. So I mean, that's all I can say. You know, it's been a great experience. And if I were to look back on whether if given a choice with the same rank, would I actually join another establishment other than IIT Roper? And I'd say no. I wouldn't want to change anything from the past. It's been great. So yeah, that's about it.
All right. So you are currently working in PandaCorp, and you were previously a consultant. I don't think it has much to do with mechanical engineering that you were taught here for 4 years. So do you think that mechanical engineering, whatever you did here, was a complete waste? Or do you think, so what do you think about that?
Put it this way, right? So I don't find a big disconnect in terms of what I learned during my engineering days and what I'm doing at Pando, or what I did at McKinsey for that matter. By the way, my choice of discipline, which is mechanical then, was something I was keen on doing mechanical. I took mechanical by choice, and no regrets there. The way the market has evolved probably over the last 7-8 years, I think now it's probably computer science and everything else. But yeah, I was pretty keen on getting a master's in management. I'm not a master's in engineering discipline right after my engineering. I was pretty clear on that almost so at the very beginning. I mean, even at the end of first year, I knew I was going to pursue an MBA sooner or later. So, I mean, studying mechanical engineering helped me build the right amount of number skills, analytical skills. But yeah, so I mean, when you actually drift away from engineering and get into a management role, be it in consulting or even when I joined BPCL, I was a management trainee. I didn't join as an engineering trainee. So I think it pretty much becomes irrelevant. Your discipline becomes irrelevant. What is important is to be able to pick up the right set of analytical skills, to be able to develop a lot of comfort with numbers. And I think that holds you in good stead as you go forward. And for me, when I look back, right, it's not really about the fact that I studied mechanical engineering or not. It's about the fact that I had some of the smartest people around me that even till date, the kind of smartness and intellect and rigor I found around me in my batchmates, you know, it's something that's been hard to find ever since. I'd learned a lot of good things from many of my batchmates. I wouldn't actually name any of them here because I don't want to miss out anybody, but I think I was around some of the smartest people then. So I think it's really about the experience of having gone through that setup where you have a lot of smart people around you, a lot of inspiring people around you, and you're your discipline beyond a point becomes irrelevant, unless of course you choose to go deep into it and you choose to make a career out of it. And I think even then I've seen that there are several examples of people pursuing their PhDs after PhDs in their engineering disciplines, and after that taking the call to move to the likes of McKinsey. So I think you always have that flexibility in your career to change what you're up to. I've seen enough examples of people doing a PhD in economics after studying mechanical engineering. So I wouldn't really, you know, if I were to summarize, I'd say that it was the whole experience of having gone through those 4 years of rigor around extremely smart and inspiring people that holds me in good stead today. And even if I had studied computer science or electrical engineering back then, I wouldn't have, how do I put it? So my experience in the job market would have been pretty much the same. Basic analytical skills and the number skills and the ability to handle rigor is what held most of us in good stead in the job market.
Wow, that is so powerful. Okay, I understand. But can you now go into your college life a bit more? Can you tell us about your social life, or maybe your pangas with professors, your assignments, quizzes, academics, or maybe your girlfriends, maybe your amazing friends here at IIT Roper? Can you tell us about that?
I was a bit of an introvert. Yes, I did have a girlfriend when I was in college, not in the college, but outside of it. But I mean, as far as my pangas were concerned, yes, we've all had a fair share of pangas with our batchmates, with some of our professors. But I think those were very situational, no hard feelings, none at all. We all really, and when we were, you know, actually in the middle of the farewell party, and it actually hit us that we're probably not going to see each other very often from now on. It actually, and I think I can safely speak for several of us that, you know, we realize that whatever little skirmishes happened here and there, we're all very situational, because we probably held on to some of our beliefs, held on to some of our notions, but that's a bit about growing up. You learn to let go of these small skirmishes, and you know, you move, you elevate yourself. See, in terms of how I was as a student, well, I think I can be very transparent about it, right? So, I mean, given the audience here is just IIT Roper folks, and I started with a CGPA of 6 point something at the end of first year, and it took an enormous amount of effort in between to graduate with, I think it was 8.3-ish.
Oh,
so
shit.
Yeah, and there was excellent. A period in between when there was indeed a lot of stress in trying to manage my academics. Academics was something I wasn't naturally very good at. So, I mean, I had a bunch of people around me who were way smarter than I was as far as academics were concerned. So I had to sort of put in that extra bit of effort in trying to cover up that ground and still get a decent CG. So, but I was involved in a bunch of other activities on campus. As I said, I was a cult secchi when we did our first fest. I was pretty involved in music. Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't. So, I mean, my academics for me were, and to be very honest, at that point of time, the reason why I wanted to maximize my CGPA was A, to get a job, and B, to get into a good B school. Because B schools back then had at least IIMs had a scoring system where they would assign a certain score to you if you had a certain CGPA. So I didn't want to be left out on that. And that was the reason why I wanted to maximize my CGPA as much as possible. But if I were to look back and think of myself as what archetype of student I was not really the studious kind. I was more into the extracurricular kind. So yeah, I mean, that's how I'd recall my 4 years at IIT Roper.
And about the extracurriculars part, can you, you know, someone who's trying to get into your position, someone who's, you know, looking up to you, can you tell us about how important extracurriculars is for him, or how much he should, you know, balance his academics and extracurriculars? There are some students who are always studying, they have good CGPAs, but they are not that good in extracurriculars. And while some students are doing the exact opposite. So can you tell how important extracurriculars are in, you know, once they are in the real world, in the outside world, which is quite different than the college world?
So I see, you don't have to really I would put it this way, right? So when you're in the real world, in order to survive in the real world, you need a little bit of everything. You need a little bit of intellectual rigor. You need good interpersonal skills. You need business skills. You need quant skills. You need a lot of things, right? What I would say is that you should work towards maintaining a hygiene level in all those skills that you need to survive. And you should identify what your spikes are. So maybe your hygiene and all of them and a couple of areas become your spikes, where you're actually distinctive or where you're really way ahead of the others. Now, for somebody, it could be extracurricular activities, interpersonal skills. For somebody, it could be plain intellectual rigor. Some people are just way too sharp, way sharper than people around them. If you realize that academics or analytical rigor is your spike, then I would suggest that you spend disproportionate amount of time strengthening that as much as possible, while use your 4 years at IIT to actually come to a hygiene level in your interpersonal skills and extracurricular activities, where you don't feel shy to face the world, you don't feel shy to talk to people, you have the right level of audacity to actually go and talk to unknown people and seek help if need be, to do negotiations. Whereas if you feel that it's the softer part of your personality that you really want to build a spike on, that comes more naturally to you, you know, actually going out there, working with people, building interpersonal skills is what you are naturally very good at. So I would say strengthen that part of your personality more while maintaining a certain minimum level of hygiene in your academics. So I wouldn't put a number on what qualifies as hygiene, but make sure that you do not neglect your academics, because I think these 4 years are an excellent opportunity for you to be able to build your analytical skills. So I would really put it this way. Don't feel left out if you're doing very well in academics and you're not able to devote a lot of time on extracurricular activities, or the other way around. Just think of it as something that, you know, you need to be good at. You need to have the hygiene level on 4 or 5 parameters, which is analytical rigor, interpersonal skills, business judgment, communication. So you need to have the hygiene level on these 4 or 5 things to survive in the industry. But identify what your spike is, identify what you're naturally good at, and spend disproportionate amount of time building that. So that's my only 2 cents here.
All right. I think that is an excellent way to look at extracurriculars. But let us now move on from your college life to your work experiences. Did you get placed at Bharat Petroleum directly from the campus?
Yes, I got there from campus.
Okay. And what was your work at Bharat Petroleum? Like, did you enjoy the work?
Oh, yes. So I joined as a management trainee and I joined in the retail business after the initial period of mandatory rotational training. And I was there for around 2 years and 7 months. For the first 1 year, I did largely retail sales. And for the remaining 1.5 years, I was the project manager for CapEx projects in 7 districts in Maharashtra. So for me, CapEx projects meant setting up retail outlets or petrol pumps, as we call them, from scratch. So my job involved a lot of market survey, talking to people, talking to dealers, vendors, negotiating with statutory bodies like the Petroleum and Energy Safety Organization, like NHAI, District Magistrate, etc. So I did get a chance to build a lot of my project management skills and negotiation skills during my close to 2.5 years at Bharat Petroleum, and those are important skills which I cherish till date. But what happened with me was that, you know, at the age of 22, 23, I was doing pretty cool stuff at Bharat Petroleum, learning a lot of real world skills. The challenge was that I saw myself doing the same things at even at 32 or even at 36, so I saw the learning curve flatten as I spent more time there. So which is when I decided to get my MBA, and I had a certain set of target companies which I wanted to access. So chose the right set of schools which would get me access to those companies, and then of course ISB happened.
So was there any, like in your college, going back a little bit, while you were in college, was there any idea of doing an MBA? You said that in the first year itself, you thought about, you know, doing a master's in business administration. But like when you just passed out from college, was there any idea that definitely I'll work at a company for 2-3 years just for the work so I can get into a good B school?
So, I mean, let me put it this way. Had I gotten into probably one of the top 3 IIMs right after college, maybe I wouldn't have had any work ex. But it was a combination of me not getting the right percentile in CAT then, and a combination of me wanting to not get into a core mechanical job and do a management kind of a job. So a bunch of things, really. I had an offer from BPCL. I didn't have an offer from any of the IIMs, and it just seemed like the right opportunity to pursue. But my objectives were clear. I wanted the right set of experience that would help me in my post-MBA goals. And yeah, even while working with BPCL, I continued to prepare for CAT, GMAT, and somewhere in the middle, I also developed an interest for a master's in operation research. So I took the GRE as well. got a bunch of professors to write my recommendation. And but then ISB happened, and that again kind of fit in my post BPCL goals. I wanted to get into consulting, and ISB was, I don't know, I mean, it still continues to be one of the best campuses for consulting jobs in Asia. So yeah, that's how ISB happened.
Right. And how is life at ISB? Like, you in ISB Hyderabad, how is the academics, how are the students there, how is the social life there, and how is it different from IIT Roper?
See, it has these schools have a very different, particularly ISB. So it's a school that where the average work experience is 4.7 years. So people come in with a very different mindset as compared to what you'd find in an undergrad college. So, I mean, I frankly have what I learned during my 4 years at undergrad, some part of it from professors and a lot of it from my batchmates, people around me, so that learning was invaluable. So I don't think I can even compare that to ISB in any manner. Getting into a B school actually helped me more from the point of view, and people will have different point of view on this, different points of view on this. But for me, getting into ISB was more about learning a certain set of technical skills, accounting, financial modeling, a little bit of marketing. And that was what my takeaway from ISB was. And of course, build a strong network that I could leverage going forward in my career. But I don't think I can even compare the experience at ISB to the experience that I had at IIT Roper. Both are very different. Both are very, very different from each other. So I don't think it's fair to make a comparison there.
Can you tell us how and why you got the interest in consulting? Like, was it at ISB or had you previously thought about doing consulting? Was it for the pay and then you started liking the job? Can you explain how did you get the interest in consulting?
So yeah, it was for the pay, for sure. But there are many jobs in the market that can, you know, pay you at least in the first 4 or 5 years similar money to what a McKinsey or a BCG would pay you. So while yes, it met my aspirations in terms of how much money I wanted to make from my first post MBA job, but I also wanted to work with smart people. And I wanted to work for a company that is identified as in some sense, as an A-League company, which was essentially to get access to a wider network of people that I could leverage. So that was about it. And, so if I were to really summarize why I wanted to get into McKinsey, my reasons for getting into McKinsey or consulting in general were very materialistic. There was no higher goal or any deeper philosophical meaning to it. It was, I just wanted a good amount of money and I wanted exposure to various kinds of problems and I wanted exposure to a very strong network of smart people. So that was about it.
Mm-hmm. And then you go on to work as a consultant in McKinsey. Can you tell us how was the work experience there? How was the workload and the consulting job over there?
So the workload varies. There are peaks and troughs, but in general, it's pretty intense. They are notorious for a reason and they stand pretty much true to that. But in terms of how exciting the work was, I think, so over a period of 3 years, I worked on 7 to 8 different projects of different natures. Some of it was pure strategy. Some of it was more around organization design. Some of it was largely operations, which is the practice that I was a part of. And I think what it allowed me to do was to actually gain access to CXO level problems very early on in my career. So I came from a very heavily operational background at BPCL, where I was actually running projects. I was there on ground. I was there as a sales officer on ground. And McKinsey was a different experience because McKinsey was a lot more top-down, where we were actually working on CXO level problems, presenting to VPs and senior VPs every week. So the two thought processes were very different at BPCL and at McKinsey. And I think what I'm really looking forward to do this point onwards, my stint at Pando and beyond, is to be able to marry the two processes, to be able to think strategically while not losing sight of the operational details. I think that's the value add that McKinsey did to me, to be able to prioritize, to be able to do some top-down problem solving, to be able to to be able to understand what parts of the problem are the most important to solve and where the maximum impact lies. And also It taught me, it made me very, very thick skinned. It's a very intense environment. Several of us who joined McKinsey in the beginning get beaten up a lot by the partners, by the clients. So it has made me very thick skinned. I don't take negative feedback to heart. I understand that some meetings can go really bad. Some people can be really hard on you. But at the end of the day, you need to be stoic about things. I also developed, pretty much contrary to what my ingoing belief was at McKinsey, I was told that McKinsey or any consulting firm in general, these are cutthroat places where people are trying to pull you down, trying to grow at your cost, etc. But luckily for me, it was absolutely not a horror story. I found some of my best mentors at McKinsey. I continue to be in touch with them. About the decision to move to Pando, I actually spoke to some of the people at McKinsey that I was really close at. Really close to, and they gave me very sincere and genuine advice. So I think, and I also made a bunch of very good friends at McKinsey. So again, McKinsey is pretty much what you make of it. But I think I would say that if you're doing consulting for the first 3-4 years after your MBA, it is indeed a very good choice.
Excellent. One thing.
And if there's anybody who wants to connect with me on how to prepare for an entry into a consulting role, and how should the case prep be, how should the right networking activities be done, I'm happy to engage in greater detail.
That is what I'm interested in, actually. But one personal question is, how does one get into McKinsey right after doing their BTech?
So McKinsey has campus placements and McKinsey has off-campus placements as well. The campus placements are typically from a few of the IITs. I think IIT Delhi, Bombay, Kanpur. I'm not sure if it goes to Kharagpur, but it keeps changing from year to year, but it's from the top, not the top really, but 4 or 5 IITs and some of the best colleges in Delhi University. Stephens, SRCC, LSR, and also some of the other top colleges in non-engineering, non-commerce fields like National Law School or Xavier's. So that's a campus way to get into McKinsey after undergrad, which is it's very hard to get into consulting right after undergrad, but if one has to get into consulting, that's kind of the easier path. Off-campus recruiting is very tough. It's very selective, very limited. And that being said, it's not impossible to get in. But what you need to do is basically have someone senior in the organization put in a strong referral for you. And for you to get that referral, you need to start networking very early. So if you do want to get into consulting after your undergrad, you'll probably do well for yourself if you start networking at the end of second year, start talking to as many senior McKinsey folks as possible, leverage some of the IIT Delhi professors to connect you to some of the alums, who are working at these places, talk to them about your aspirations, understand what it takes to get in. Have them refer your case internally and then get to the interview. Once you get to the interview, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how you got shortlisted. You're at level playing ground. Just that if you're coming in off campus, you may have a couple of rounds of interview more as compared to when you join from campus. And that's for the simple reason that these companies are competing with other firms to make an offer on campus. So they want to close the process very quickly. If you're coming off campus, they have all the time in the world to grill you or to bother you. Short answer is that if you want to get into consulting right after undergrad, start networking extensively by the time you're starting your third year, and make sure you have enough contacts in the industry. Make sure you have at least 2 or 3 senior people, one in each consulting firm that you happen to target, that are willing to refer you internally and get you the first interview.
All right, so I have seen, and I have definitely a lot of confusion regarding this. Most people after graduating, they join good startups. Like if they're looking forward to do a consulting job or a management job in some bigger firms, they usually join startups, they take up bigger responsibilities, and then they do their MBA. They work in the startup for the work experience, they do a good MBA, and then they go into amazing consulting firms. What you have done is like you've done a good consulting firm, you've worked with Guzman, then you've switched to a startup. So what do you think is a good decision? And can you just clarify this, all this for us?
So I, So I frankly don't have an answer to that question, because I don't think either ways, whether your journey is from a startup and then an MBA and then making. So I've had people in my batch at ISB, and I think Anmol Mann would be a good person to speak to on this, you know, his journey from Flipkart to then ISB and then McKinsey, what drove his, and then there was a year of doing Greedy Game in between as well before he joined ISB. So what drove his decisions, what drove his choices, I think he would be a good person to answer that. But I think the way I'd put it is that, you know, you're not always thinking about what will happen 5 years down the line. As I said at the beginning of the conversation, that sometimes it's just your gut that drives you. And you do something if it feels right. And there could be multiple motivations, right? Somebody wants to experience a startup environment. Somebody wants to work in a large corporation right away because they want a certain, they want the money, but they want a certain set of stability because of personal reasons, girlfriend, family, choice of a certain city. Or, you know, sometimes people want to basically spend a lot of time learning and doing the content more than the process. In an early stage startup, you'll be doing a lot of process work as well because things are ramping up. So I think these preferences keep changing. These the choices you make are largely driven by your gut, and you're not typically thinking 5 years down the line. And I think that's the way it should be. You should really not be solving for what will happen 5 years down the line. If something excites you at that moment, might as well go ahead and do it. The only caveat here is, if I may, is that make sure you spend enough time doing a particular thing before you decide that this is not for you, because you shouldn't romanticize any profession or any job. Every job that you put your hands on will have a part which involves a lot of grunt work and uninteresting work, because things take time to build, experiences take time to build. So for you to be able to get the most out of a particular experience, unless you're having a very toxic time there, I would suggest that you spend enough time. Enough time could be a year, enough time could be 2 years, but make sure you get enough out of that experience before deciding that this is not for you. Do not lose out on the tenacity to go through the boring parts of your job as well. But I think as long as you're showing the right amount of rigor, as long as you're sufficiently driven, whether you join a startup first and then do an MBA and then join a consulting company, or you do it the other way around, or you join a big company, work there for 20 years, and then decide what to do. So I think it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
All right. So I think I've covered almost all the parts of your journey, but there's still one question that remains. Is there any value or some motto that you're living up to? And you know, there's a lot of college students who are listening to this right now, and they're really trying to figure their lives out. Do you have any value or motto that you think students are neglecting these days and they should live up to that?
Well, I think I wasn't prepared to answer this question, but if I were to pause and think about it, right, I think what has really mattered during my journey, during my career, is relationships and not numbers. The numbers are not always in your hands. They can go up and down. But during my course of, you know, serving multiple clients at McKinsey, working with multiple organizations, I've built some very deep, meaningful relationships, which are not driven by greed, which are not driven by any material benefit to gain from each other in the short term. They are genuinely deep, meaningful relationships. And I think that makes your job fulfilling. You know, there are people backing you. There are people rooting for your success. Don't over-index on numbers. Numbers will come. Sometimes you have the desired impact. Sometimes you don't. But do keep building the right relationships. You should over-invest time in building relationships, because that's what will ultimately matter.
That is very powerful. And I think we'll end the interview here. Thank you, Mr. Ayush, for being such a great alumni and, you know, taking some time out of your very hectic routine to give us this interview.
Again, thank you, Mr. Shreyas, for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Ayush. I'd like to correct myself. And so that has been all. You definitely cleared a lot of my own queries that I had about consulting and about MBA. And I'd like to definitely meet you in person in future. And thank you for being a great alumni.
Absolutely. I'm in Mumbai. Anytime you guys just happen to be in Mumbai, just drop by and say hi.
All right. Thank you.